What's going on, NBA draft fans? Your boy Corey Tulliba from No Ceilings here with a very special No Ceilings NBA draft podcast episode. Look, it's the offseason, man. So we're trying to break up the monotony of the offseason and give you some special episodes. A little synopsis of the episode today. In 2021 for the Hardwood Magazine, which was the independent basketball magazine that I ran, I interviewed the Through the Wire podcast. For those of you that aren't familiar, they are some of the best content creators in the basketball space with a awesome basketball pod. And I wanted to feature them in the magazine as content creators that I thought were changing the game because they're doing a lot of creative things. So we recorded this a year ago and it was specifically for the magazine. So this was The Lost Tapes. It's an interview that no one has ever heard. You may have read excerpts from it in the magazine if you bought the magazine, but this is completely unreleased footage, audio, video that I wanted to share because I think it offers a lot of cool insights into the process of content creating, how it gets started, consistency, and just, you know, some really good basketball discussion. Again, it was from a year ago, so you might hear something, you know, every now and again that seems a little out of place, but this is The Lost Tape. So without further ado, let's get into it with our boys from Through the Wire. We're here with the Through the Wire podcast for issue 2 of the Hardwood magazine. Fellas, I appreciate you doing this. I'm excited to talk some creative process and some hoops with you guys.
Of course, man. Thanks for the invite.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So how and why did you guys decide to start a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, we have a group chat, and in that group chat, we just randomly start talking about hoops. I think it was Pierre that was like, man, we just got to record this. We know people will listen. And that's basically how it was. It was very organic. The only thing was we had talked about it on and off for like a year or 2 years. And then one day we were just like, are we sure we want to do this? And then we just made the steps. Boom. That was it.
I think that was the best part because, we talked about it for so many times, just procrastinating. Kenny took the initiative to buy all the equipment, which was like, that was like the instrumental moment because we would have just sat around and just been like, hey, you ready to buy your mic or you ready to buy your mic? And I'm ready to buy mine. And nobody would have probably bought it. Yeah. So and then initially we had 3 mics, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Right. And because we didn't know that Derek, my guy with the Dunder Mifflin shirt on, we didn't think he was serious. So I remember when we first started, he had a different mic than the rest of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he was a little less serious and more serious.
I was serious, but they didn't think I was serious. Because yeah. I showed up to the spot and like they didn't have a mic for me.
Yeah.
They didn't expect me to even show up.
That's messed up. But you guys got it figured out, right?
Yeah.
Were you guys into like any particular podcast that influenced you? Or was it just like the whole scene was blowing up? Like everybody's got a podcast now.
Mm-hmm. I personally not listening to any podcasts or any shows, to be honest, besides like the mainstream shows, like The First Takes and shit like that.
No, I
don't think like, for, at least for me, like I wasn't just like inspired by any podcasts. Like the main thing about the show is just like, it's just so organic. Like the things we talk about, how we talk on the show, like that's literally how we talk about it. If we're at the gym talking basketball, if we're like in an Xbox party, like, man, it's just literally how we talk. It might be a little bit less filtered, you know, but it's just like, it's all the same thing. So it's literally just like putting it on a platform, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, I think me and P might be a little different because I listened to podcasts back then. I listen to podcasts now. Mm-hmm. At the time when we first started, I was big into Bill Simmons's pod and Zach Lowe's pod. I still love Zach Lowe's pod, but those would be my inspirations. But what people don't know is that when we started Through the Wire, it wasn't going to be just hoops. It was like the reason we picked the name Through the Wire is because it was similar to like, what is it, Everyday Struggle, where it's like they can talk about things and going on in culture. We talk about fashion. We talk about a little bit of music, everything. But once we finally got down to recording, we were like, maybe basketball is it. Maybe that's our calling.
Yeah. When we first started, actually, when we first started, I'll be honest, and I don't want to sound like this, but podcasting wasn't what it is now. Like now everybody has a podcast. I was listening to No Jumper with Adam 22 and then the Joe Budden podcast, the very first version of the Joe Budden podcast. So I wasn't even into like basketball podcasts. And I don't even know what made us make it a podcast, but I'm glad we did because we were on it so early. Mm-hmm. So, man, all that time we was procrastinating, we could have probably been the first with a podcast if we would have got down to business when we first talked about it. But yeah.
You know what? I feel like that's a good mix because you got a couple of guys who kind of knew the format and then a couple who can go in fresh. So, you know, you're not necessarily taking from this podcast and that podcast, right? It like you said, it's organic. And to me that, you know, when you're starting something new, you don't want to be a worse version of somebody who's already doing something good, right? You want to be, you know, your own thing. So starting out, you said you went in early. A couple of you guys didn't even really fuck with podcasts like that. Like, how long did it take for you guys to kind of find your groove, like, in the show?
It took a long time. I think it took a long time. We can go back and listen and watch those first episodes, and they were god awful. I think we've all come very far when it comes to being comfortable in front of a microphone and being comfortable and in front of a camera. And I think then when we started, we had no idea where it was going to go or how big it would be. And I would say maybe in those beginning years, we weren't as dedicated to like really studying the game of basketball as we are nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of helped me just be more comfortable in front of mics, more comfortable talking. Like, I'm way more comfortable talking to people in public. Like, I'm way more freely, openly talking to people. Like, it's helped me, like, really just, like, my comfortability with talking before was just like so shy, so nervous. Like, even when we just had the mics, like, I would start sweating if we were talking. Like, I don't get that no more. Like, I'm way more comfortable just talking in general.
Yeah, I was just going to add to it real quick, but I think it's just a big confidence thing. And just like, we've been doing this shit for a while now. Like, it's been a few years. You've been doing this shit every week. So I think the reps just got us into a place where we're just comfortable, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, you guys are all like boys, right? For a minute now. So that's got to help too. Cause like you said, it started as a group chat and you're basically just taking that format and turn it into an audio version. Right.
For sure.
Yeah. That's why I think that organic word is so big for us because me and Kenny are actually blood cousins. My dad and his mom are siblings. So we've obviously known each other our entire lives. And then I went to school with Mike and Derek. Middle school, I'm a couple years older, but we've always lived in like in the same neighborhood and went to the same schools. So then when I got to high school and my little cousin comes to my high school, I see him in the hallway talking to Mike and I'm like, oh shit, I know Mike. And Mike, this is my cousin. So then everybody like, oh shit, small world type thing. And years go by and then, yeah, we have this podcast now. But I was just a student just emailed me to ask for some questions for like his school paper or whatever. And he asked kind of the same question. I think we was kind of like, we were reluctant to really speak our true voices too. I think like now we have this confidence about ourselves that like, this is what I think. This is my opinion. I don't care who cares or I don't care who disagrees. This is what I see. And I feel like when we first started, we were a little held back with our takes and our opinions because we cared about the reaction. But now we're at this point where it's like, we are who we are and this is what I think. So what if you disagree? I don't care.
Right. Yeah. That fear of messing up and like rubbing people the wrong way kind of went out the window after a while. Like you just became more confident. You just like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't even care. I'm gonna just say what I feel like is in my mind at that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what's funny, Pete, I was just watching like an old video and you were talking this. It's gotta be around when you guys were starting. And you were like, you know, I think I got to tone it down a little. I don't know who's watching. You know, what if NBA TV wants to come at me with something? You know, maybe I should curse less. And now you guys are just like, fuck it, right? We're just talking hoop. Like you would, you know, in the living room.
We still try to censor it. We try not to curse as much. If it slips, it slips. But like, we try not to. Still.
I just be myself, man. Like, because when you start, I don't know what was making me say that, but like, what I found out was people love that authenticity. So like, if I rub somebody the wrong way, I don't care because it's going to be another five people who just love. They want that real. People fiend for the real. Like, they want relatability. They want real. And that's how we give you the talk. We talk like we're at a lunch table, like we're in a break room, like we're at the gym and we just got done running fools. And now we're talking about basketball. And that's what people want. You know what I mean? We don't wear suits. We're not all, you know, graduating from, you know, some college and then was a beat writer and worked our way up onto TV like most, you know, past generations have done it, we kind of carved in a new lane where you can be you. You can be young, be free, and might get green dreads. And, you know what I mean? We just being ourselves and, you know, whoever likes it, like it. If you don't, I mean, you just don't.
Yeah. And one thing we also learned with some of our live shows is that if we're told that we can't curse, we can still put together a good show without doing those things. So
yeah,
it's just like I think we do a good job of monitoring what we can and can't say.
Yeah. Speaking of your live shows, I mean, explain like the energy of a live show versus you guys recording by yourselves.
Nothing beats it. Nothing beats it. We did one in Chicago All-Star Weekend 2019, and we packed out the house. We had this full warehouse that they specifically had for us to do a live show. It was completely free to the public. So we just, it's just like to see my family and friends finally seeing me do what I can do in front of also people that just watch us. I don't know. The energy is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there's like, it's something different when you see a dude that's been like supporting you on Twitter for like the past year and a half, and then finally get to actually put, you know, a face to this Twitter handle that's been Russell Westbrook for like, you know, it's just a different type of feeling. So the live shows are always the best, bro. Packing out the place, having family there. And then it's just like, I always feel like every time we have a live show too, fan will have a family member and they'll bring them and they'll be like, you know what, you guys aren't too bad, like you got another fan in me. Like I feel like that always happens as well. So the live shows are just dope.
I love the live shows for the meet and greets. I think the meet and greets are great. Like you get to meet and like interact with fans, you get to like sign autographs, you get to take a bunch of pictures, mm-hmm. y'all get to talk Hoops one-on-one, like face-to-face, and there's no like Twitter handles or nothing like that. So I love that part of it, because it's just like, it's like being social with people that probably will never get to see you, but low key, you just like made their whole week because they just got to sit there and interact with you.
Yeah. For me, it can be emotional, man. Like to see, like, I remember we had our first live show ever in New York. There was his dad who drove his son and daughter from Delaware to come see us. We had our guy,
Chino, shout out to Chino.
Yeah, my boy Chino.
He's from Canada, did he?
Yeah, from Montreal. He caught a flight all the way to New York for a few hours. His flight was like scheduled right after the show ended. He got right back on the plane and went right back home just to watch. Like, when people do that, and then even in a Chicago show, a dude came on my hoodie and told me he flew from the Bahamas to Chicago to come to the show. Like, that gets you emotional because it's like, bro. It's more real than what we, because all we do is come on here, we turn the camera on, or when we get back in person, yeah, same thing. We just sit down, turn the camera on, we just talk basketball. But it like for other people, it's a lot more serious and impactful. Some people, we get DMs all the time, like, man, you guys got me through this, through that. I was going through this. Like when you start hearing those messages, it's kind of it blows your mind. But you probably know, Corey, because you managed a band or something. I saw you say before.
Yeah,
it's kind of like being the next rap group, and where like those shows are like the first shows, and you packing them out, and then the fans get to grow with you. It's kind of like being a music artist or something.
Like I definitely feel like our next live show will have way more people than
It's gonna be really
live. Every live show. It's going to be crazy lit. Like people are going to be so excited to get out, but I feel you. You know, I saw it all the time. I even saw it with me. Like I was a dude just designing t-shirts and like backdrops and shit. And I'm just selling merch at a show. And I got people who I don't recognize coming to me, telling me, you know, how much the band and even like my art helped people. So it's crazy, right? Getting like the experience of face to face. Cause Twitter is and like Instagram, all that is cool. You can kind of get to know people. The internet's really connected us, but there's still nothing like meeting somebody face to face and really having that one-on-one moment with you. And that's how you get fans to not move on to the next thing, right? Now you got these people cherish these memories and they rock with you forever. Yeah. So,
yeah, it definitely seems like our fans, like they stick with us. Like there's no like they don't leave us, like they ride with us.
Well, that's a testament to, you know, you guys showing up to work every week and being consistent, right? Is that hard to, you know, consistently put out content?
Nah, I feel like it's the best part about it. I think personally, I live for content. I live for that that instant gratification of a new video going up and reading through the comments of people saying negative and positive things. That's the reason I do what I do. Honestly, it's the best part about my job.
Yeah, for certain things, I don't mind it. Especially like basketball, like I eat, sleep, drink basketball. This is what I do. Like my spare time when I'm not working and making it, I'm watching guys like you, Hoop Intellect. You know what I mean? Like guys who are specializing in shit that I'm intrigued on. So like, soon as I get to Jalen Suggs, you know, hardwood Hoops fucking video, I'm watching instantly because I need to know. I want information. But that's how we also early on was like, we're gonna carve a lane for ourselves. We don't stop. There's no off season for us. Through the off season, we still keep our same schedule. When a pandemic came and the season was suspended, we still dropped 2 times a week. And it differentiates us from other people who take those pauses and breaks. So it's easy. We love the game. So, you know.
I mean, yeah, that love of the game, shit, it can take you so far, man. Like, people don't know. Like, we have episodes and not really. Like, especially during, like, the pandemic when it first started, we were like, man, what are we talking about today? And then we put on one of our, like, best shows or something like that because we're just talking. You know, we're just – and people love that. You know, people just love to hear that genuine conversation. You know, that's what people strive for. I get a lot of DMs like, you know, you guys, not even just like the basketball, you inspired me to just like, you know, talk music with my friends, get recorded and stuff like that. So it's just that element, you know, that genuine conversation. Oh, it's this.
Yeah, I think we're like one, like somebody just saying one little take away from like it taking like a whole different direction, and taking on like a whole new conversation. Like the dialogue could just grow and grow off that. Like we just grow off each other. Honestly, when we're talking, a lot of it is just us growing off of each other and like taking points here and there, and just like it's just all natural.
Yeah, well, you guys got four people doing a show, which like you listen to most podcasts is really two people, maybe three. You guys ever find it hard to let everybody cook?
No.
Yeah, no. You would think it would be, but like today, Kenny went off. Kenny had his little rant today of like he's a bull. Oh well, Corey, you're a Bulls fan too, but
yeah,
guys are calling Zach LaVine empty stat. You know the empty stat guy. So he cooked. You know, and then next week I'm a Knicks fan, so yep. You know the Knicks may lose three in a row, and it's like, oh, we of course it's the Knicks. They suck, and now I gotta go off. Mike, a Laker fan, so you know we all have our moments where you know we just let each other go off. It's kind of like the Brooklyn Nets. Harden gonna have his moments where he, you know, KD gonna have his moments, Kyrie. But once you see somebody in a bag, you just step out and let them go to work.
So if we like the Brooklyn Nets, one of us got to be Blake Griffin. Who is that?
I mean, Derek don't really have moments where he's just going off.
True.
Neither does Mike. They have moments, but they don't really go off. Like, Mac, me and you will go for 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. Like, listen, we got to see this. And, you know, so we actually like, yeah, that would be like AD and LeBron. And then that's like.
I could be Dennis Schroeder. I could be Dennis Schroeder, man.
Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell.
Nothing wrong with being Montrez and Dennis Schroeder, right?
None at all, especially if he declined $84 million.
Sometimes, you know, who knows? Maybe he proves everybody wrong and he gets, you know, he gets a bag. I don't know. But sometimes you got the wrong people in your ear. I don't know. you guys were saying, like, initially you chose Through the Wire because it could have been a show like Everyday Struggle where you're meshing – everything together. One, you guys are all Chicago guys, right?
Yeah.
So like, was it easy to go straight to a Kanye song to make the title of your podcast because he's from Chicago?
I think Pierre came up with the idea of trying to do it something similar to what Everyday Struggle did. So I think all of us was just going through our favorite artists' tracks. And somebody's like, we got to do a Kanye song, right? And it just, boom, through the wire just made the most sense, I think. For some reason, I don't know. It just made the most sense.
Our first ideas was terrible, though. Mm-hmm. We had, like, Reasonable Doubt podcast, Illmatic podcast, And then it had to be Kenny because I know Derek probably didn't say it. I don't know if Mike is Kanye.
I don't even remember how that shit literally went down. Like, that's how long ago. I mean, it was like this, too. Like, what, it just kind of stuck once we
got once that Through the Wire was put in that chat, everybody was like, yo, that is it. That's it right there. Don't say anything else. We are Through the Wire. It was one of those things. Like, yeah, once you hear it, it's just like, oh, shit.
Well, I mean, the other cool thing about, like, content in 2021 is, even though you guys are a hoop show, you really don't have to strictly talk about hoops when hip hop and hoops, like, and the culture of it are so intertwined today, more so than ever, right? And especially with how everybody's branded together in social media. So it kind of, you know, is one of those things where, like you said, the light bulb went off, and it's kind of perfect just because of the way that even content is looked at today.
No, yeah. We've one of our most best episodes is where we took NBA players and we took rappers and we brought them together. So we're like, this guy is that guy. I forgot who we were doing because it's the years ago, but I know that was one of the most popular episodes we had. That's like the House of Highlights love that shit so much too, that they were like, you know, we're gonna push this episode. Like, that was the first episode they ever came to us. It was like, we're going to like try to make sure that this one is getting pushed out. But who did we have? We might have had
LeBron and Drake. I think J. Cole had to be
Dame. I think J. Cole was Dame.
It might have been like, oh, he underrated. He don't get the respect, but he might.
We gotta remember this is like 3 years ago too. This is like 3 years ago.
LeBron is on the Cavs, so we had like LeBron as Drake, and Draymond was like Pusha T. Because it was like the Cavs versus Warriors thing, and yeah, it was a while ago. But we actually did well on that list. If my memory, yeah, we did well.
Should we redo that list?
You might have to revisit it.
Yeah, we might. I think we might.
Because Giannis would now be someone different.
Exactly, but we would have to. Yeah,
I think we did something not too long. I feel like we did this like a few months ago. We kind of revisited it, but we ain't had no like staple episode on it.
Right. We should go the 25 under 25. So because if we did it again, it would be the same rappers but different rap. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like Giannis would be at the top. So if we could do young budding stars, who's Devin Booker? Who's Donovan Mitchell? Who's Zach LaVine?
Okay.
Who's, you know, that would be better.
I can't wait to hear who D Mills got for some artists, bro. Because I just feel like D Mills, he doesn't expand his shit. Like, if it's not a big artist, he's probably like, yeah, I'm not with that. Right. Well,
we should just make a pool of artists. Like, we should have just one pool of artists and everybody come with us. That way not everybody has something different.
We're on Corey's show thinking about ideas for our show.
That's where the magic happens. This is good, right? Because this is like the perfect
everybody
to show how you guys work, right? You guys were talking about one thing, all of a sudden you guys just start riffing off each other, and that's where the chemistry and how organic you guys work together. It's like, that's perfect.
They just literally just saw how sometimes we create shows.
Yep, that was it.
we never come with like some organized show. Like, we don't be like, all right, for the first 5 minutes, we're talking about this or that. We come, we get on a Zoom, and everybody like, or maybe somebody will text normally Kenny like, hey, what's for tomorrow's show? And sometimes the answer be, we're just going to talk basketball, man. Like, nobody answers with no specific topic. We always lay our head on that. We're just going to talk basketball.
It literally just starts with, like, small stuff that happened within the NBA that week. That's literally just how it starts. And then you go off there. Or just, like, we'll start with something that maybe someone said on another platform, and we'll go off that, too.
Shout out to NBA Twitter. NBA Twitter says a lot of dumb shit for us to react to. Like, today's episode is literally called Empty Stats. Like, we just went off on people who the empty stats is the most dumbest thing I've ever heard, and we just was able to go in off that for majority of the show.
I can't talk about anything like that after everything with Zach LaVine. There's a lot of apologies that I feel like haven't happened yet, my man.
From you?
No, he's sent from the public. No, he's sent from the public.
Okay. Yeah. Just the public.
You're a Bulls fan, Derek.
I'm a Bulls fan.
Oh, you're a
Bulls fan. Let's talk about you guys all like different teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're all from Chicago, or you guys move? All right. So, I mean, I understand Kenny's fandom. He's from Chicago. He's a Bulls fan. Makes sense. How did you guys become fans of the Lakers and the Knicks and whether the Blazers, right? I mean, I'm a Bulls fan. I'm from New York, so I get that this happened. So, what's your fandom origins?
So for me, I thought I was going to the NBA, man. I had hoop dreams, and I thought I was going to be the first overall pick to the New York Knicks. I had like my dream of being in the NBA mapped out. I had like I was going to be. At this time, I'm a tall kid. I'm like 5'9", 5'10", but I'm still young. I'm like in second, third grade. So I'm like, man, I should be able to get to 6'6". So if I'm 6'6", I can be like Kobe and Mike. Kobe played in L.A. Mike played in Chicago. I never wanted to play for the Bulls as a kid because the Michael Jordan shadow is just – even as a kid, I recognized that. So I'm like, what other place could I go to that ain't Chicago or L.A.? At the time, the Clippers were so like – the early 2000, you never dreamed to be a damn Clipper. I don't care what nobody says. So it was like the Knicks. I saw the Knicks play the Bulls on TV. Madison Square Garden was always sexy. They sucked. So I'm like, I could go there in a few years. I could be a Knick. So in my basketball mind, I thought I was going to be a Knick. And I fell in love with the colors, the Madison Square Garden. And I just kept my fandom up with them. I just connected with them. So, you know. And people know I'm not a bandwagon guy. What bandwagon do I have to hop on with the Knicks? You know?
So, my roots are always going to be with the Bulls. Like, I love Chicago. I love my city. Like, this is literally my favorite city. Every city I go to, I get homesick. So, it's always like, this is going to forever be my home. But, like, the Blazers, my fandom for that came from watching Dame and LaMarcus in that series against the Rockets. And then, like, when Dame got drafted, he came in as a rookie and was killing. Like, he came in already, like, with that veteran mentality. And, like, that just kind of just gravitated me towards that team, honestly.
So if Dame gets traded, are you still a Blazer fan?
I would think so. But I don't know. I feel like I would definitely still like the team that he's on because he's on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm in a similar boat. Like, I mean, I got into basketball like a little bit late, but like I always played basketball a little bit, but like actually get into the game and playing, you know, I found myself just gravitating towards like the Lakers. Like I admired Kobe. Like, that's who I wanted to play like. You know, like, when I was in high school, like, made sure I had the 2-4 on, made sure I had the Kobe's on. Free throw, I wanted to practice. Like, you know, everything you do, like, that's just who I kind of, like, gravitated towards, too. So, you know, and then even when he retired, like, I was just still a Lakers fan. Like, that's it just felt like home to me. So I always just stayed there.
Yeah, but originally, when I first started watching basketball, I was actually a Nuggets fan. I loved watching Allen Iverson and Carmelo. Mm-hmm. With those Denver Nuggets teams, and then J.R. Smith when they was the second seed and they took the Lakers to 6 in the conference finals. Like, I was a huge Nuggets fan back in the day.
So you stopped that? What made you stop being a Nuggets fan?
When Derrick Rose got drafted.
So you just hop on people's trends. Like, yeah, because if the Blazers lose Damian Lillard, then you won't be a Blazer fan.
Yes, I would.
I think he's more of a modern era NBA fan where they're more fans of players than the actual organizations, which is cool. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Corey, how did you become a Bulls fan being from the Michael Jordan days or some shit?
Yeah, I was about to turn 7 years old. First game I ever watched, went to my grandparents' house. It was the 93 finals, game 6. And it was the first pro game I watched because most of my family members went to St. John's. So I'd gone to like some college games or whatever, but like the first pro game I watched was game 6 of the 93 finals. And I was just like the intensity of it, just everything about it. The fact that it was the NBA finals. I mean, the whole broadcast. And honestly, I think that whoever had won that game is who I would have been a fan of. So, and what's crazy, like I didn't even realize, cause I'm like 6.5 years old. So Michael Jordan scored every point in the fourth quarter, except for the game winner, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I think John Paxson's the greatest player of all time because he's the one who hit the game winner. I'm 6.5. I don't really realize. And then from there, you know, I was just like, all right, I'm a Bulls fan now. But I had every opportunity to kind of hop off the bandwagon. I'm like you, like I'm loyal now because the Knicks were good. They had the opportunity to advance and make the finals right after that because Jordan retires. But I stuck with the Bulls, and you know, a lot of bad times, a lot of really good times. And I think that I'm pretty happy that I got to experience the post Jordan era more so than even like growing up directly in the Jordan era, because seeing like Jordan retires and then you got to go through like the Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler,
Marcus Fizer.
You know, Marcus Fizer years. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Bulls draft Kirk Heinrich and hire Scott Skiles. And all of a sudden then Luol Deng, Ben Gordon, Chris Duhon. And all of a sudden, like you get that high of like, yo, I can't believe my team's going to be good now. And it's such a, it really like, you feel like you earned it as a fan. Like, so I'm happy that kind of, I was around to see Jordan, but I was like, I was a little kid. I was around for it. So I like really appreciate that because I still have the memories of watching those games live. But also like, I really love that Kirk Heinrich, Joakim Noah, you know, Luol Deng, Ben Gordon team. Like that's probably my favorite team as a Bulls fan, even if we came up short.
I'm a Knicks fan forever, but I owe the Bulls a lot because my early basketball memories were just being a kid. And I hate to sound old, but when I was a kid, cable was like a luxury. So I don't even think I may have had cable some days. And fucking the Bulls would come on like WGN, Channel 9, and I would watch. And that's how I even would fall in love with the Knicks in Madison Square Garden, because I watched it by watching the Bulls play. I remember those teams. I even went to Bulls games. My first game was a Bulls game. This is when they had like Jamal Crawford, and he would wear the little leg band and had the S-dot card.
Headband.
Yeah, it was just like, I remember those days. And they would make the playoffs, and they would have like the black shoes with the black socks. The Bulls always had like a swag about them. Young Tyson Chandler, Nocioni. There's so many. I remember when the Bulls had Gennaro Pargo, and he had some moments. Like the Bulls, man. I'm not a Bulls fan, but I might as well be because I have a lot of early memories of like those early 2000 teams.
I'm the same way with the Knicks. You know, like I feel like I'm a bigger Knicks fan than half the members of Knicks media sometimes. You know, I NBA League Pass didn't exist when we were kids. So like,
right.
You know, the only games I could watch were Knicks games or Nets games. I wasn't going to watch Nets games really, you know, I mean, like just, so I rocked with the Knicks as like, all right, this is who I'm watching. And if I want to watch another team, I got to watch the Knicks. So yeah. I feel you on that.
Yeah. A lot of kids don't know the struggle of that, man. I watch your local team.
What does Derrick Rose mean to Chicago?
The most,
everything.
The most a player in any sports in Chicago has meant to a city other than Jordan. There's something about the homegrown aspect of Derrick Rose that, like, every single Bull, you don't see this very often across franchises. Every single Bulls fan from this city is still in love with Derrick Rose after everything.
I think it's more so like the story. Like, he came from the south side of Chicago in the slums with a Simeon, and then, like, he's now the youngest MVP of all time. Like, he gives, like, those kids that live in that environment, like, hope. Like, hey, I could use this as motivation to get out of here. Like, there is a way out, and I can one day probably be there. I can do something with my life. Like, you see just, like, the story of where you're from, and you put it to him, and, like, he knows the struggle, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a good representation of Chicago, man. Like, I was reading his book, and he was talking about, like, he was saying shit that we say in Chicago. Like, we got a term and a phrase that we use, like, I'm not going. Like, Corey, me and you playing one-on-one, you up 11. You up 11 to 2. We're going to a game of 15. So you basically, you're up 9 points, you're comfortable. But I'm going to still tell you I'm not going. Like, you're not about to get this game easy. Like, I'm not. You're going to have to earn these next 4 points. And so it's just like that. For him to be such a Chicagoan and then play for the Chicago Bulls and, like Derek said, be the youngest MVP ever, like, that's some shit you can't even write a movie on that. If I seen a movie about a guy doing that, it would be like this unrealistic-ass movie. No way you play. So for him to do all those things, It was good, but the other side of it that a lot of people don't like to talk about is I remember, because we were in high school, I remember Derrick Rose being hurt, not playing, and a lot of people shitting on him and turning their back on him. Mm-hmm. I remember vividly. People will act like they didn't say these things, and I'll never forget a moment. This kid, he didn't go to our high school, but he was friends with us. He went to another local high school. He was shitting on Derrick Rose so bad. And this dude, shout out to Googs. This dude had a screenshot of it. He like kept that tweet that the dude said. And Derrick Rose hit the game winner against the Cavs, where he just kind of looked. Y'all know that shot where they picked him up. Mm-hmm. And the dude was celebrating on the timeline, like, yeah, let's go, Rose. And the other dude I know pulled out that tweet, like, bro, what about this you were saying? And the dude was like, come on, bro, can I just have this moment? It's like that right there, that was the most frustrating shit as a Chicagoan. And I'm not even a Bulls fan, but everybody liked the Bulls when Derrick Rose was on top. Like,
no, yeah.
So I mean, that was crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, shit, I made sure I was tuning into the Bulls when Derrick Rose was playing. And something just like I think about it too. It's just like the way he played the game, it was so Chicago-esque too. Like, this is shit you doing in a 32, some shit you doing on the park, ain't no fouls. Kind of like he translated that to the NBA and became, you know, MVP. It's not like he was Steph Curry. I'm not trying to throw shade at Steph Curry, but not like he was just shooting. Like, he had Chicago game, and he translated that. So it was so nice to see.
And we got to see it from day one at Simeon. I'll never forget. I tell this story all the time. My dad asked me and my brother, did we want to go to the championship game or finals game with Simeon? It was at the United Center. Or did we want to go to our cousin's hotel party? And we chose our cousin's hotel party because we wanted to swim. And then I'll never forget, later that night, me and my brother, we get out the pool, we go to the hotel room, and we turn on like TV or something, and Derrick Rose is windmilling at the United Center. And we like, bro, we might have just picked the wrong thing.
I remember that play. I was
that shit.
That when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, I'm so jealous of whatever team gets to draft this kid. I'm so jealous.
I remember the moment where we won the lottery for the Derrick Rose pick. This was before I was a diehard Bulls fan, but diehard basketball fan. I was at baseball practice, and Coach Willie comes from, I think he was listening to it on the radio or something. He runs back to the dime and he's like, we got the pick. He's coming home. I'm like, what? He's coming home. Yeah, that's a moment I'll never forget.
I still have right here in my mom's storage the newspaper of Derrick Rose being the number one pick. He got the Bulls hat on with the ball. I still got this shit.
Man, I feel like I'm about to cry. Last question. I'll let you guys get out of here. Any advice to the readers and the watchers who are thinking about starting some kind of creative project but are a little, you know, scared, just maybe procrastinating, just a little bit of advice?
My advice is the same as that. When I started YouTube, I was 13 years old with no direction. I was just doing it for fun. I know things have changed dramatically since then, where some people get into the YouTube game / podcast game thinking of it as a career. But when I started doing what I was doing, it was more of a hobby and it turned into a career. And none of that is possible if I didn't do it, or if I quit after a year and not having any subscribers, if I quit after 2 years and not making any money. So I think doing it and recognizing your flaws in the process of doing it can go a long way. Because even if you don't leave the podcast scene making a ton of money, you've grown these skills of talking to people and being more comfortable in front of people.
I would simply say just like start it, don't stop, and just most importantly, do it for you. You know, just like don't go it just feeling like you deserve, like, oh, I deserve this deal. I don't know, I'm going to get, you know, this sponsor, and say, just do it for you. And I think that's when you really find, like, yourself in it.
And make sure you're doing it, like, stuff that you know about, stuff that you're very knowledgeable about, stuff that you can come up here and comfortably talk about. Like P recently just said it on our show, like, don't go up there talking about fishing if you've never went fishing and you know nothing about it. Like, make sure you're doing things that you know a lot about, so that way you get credibility. The last thing you want to do is go up there spewing shit and you lose your credibility about some stuff that you didn't know anything about.
I just say, man, follow your passion. Be in love with it. a lot of kids get this idea that like everybody has a podcast now. Mm-hmm. Like when we made our podcast, we didn't do it because everybody had a podcast. We wanted to talk with each other. And so happened, we were lucky enough to go in a direction that the rest of the world was going to go in. We had no idea. So now you look around, every kid wants to be a YouTuber, mm-hmm. have a podcast, because all of these things are hot right now. But like, if that ain't your passion, don't do it because it's what everybody else doing. You think it's a get rich quick scheme, or, you know, it's a shortcut. There ain't no shortcuts, man. You gotta, I think we so successful because it's just like legitimately something we wanted to do. We were doing this when there was no House of Highlights. We were still creating this content, doing these episodes, and we weren't getting paid for sacrificing our spare time. That's when we all had like regular 9-to-5s, at least most of us. Like, so he would come from UPS and do an episode. Derek still has his Portillo stuff on, doing an episode. Like, we were committed to doing it before fans, before money, before House of Highlights. And because of that, the game, you know, it gave back to us. But I always credit my love for basketball. I never knew as a 7-year-old kid falling in love with the game that I would be doing this. I thought I was going to the NBA. You couldn't tell me I wasn't going to be a Knick first round pick, 6'6" shooting guard, you know, leading the Knicks to the playoffs. But because I gave the game everything without looking for something back out of it, it still came back to find. They say that, though. They say, like, if you love something, you let it go, it'll come back and find you in some mm-hmm. way or another. But that orange basketball, which I'm sure you can replace it with anything. Maybe you're a baseball guy who thinks he's going to the MLB. Like, if you give the game whatever and you give it your all, it'll come back. You're not going to put 10,000 hours in and it's just going to shit on you. Like, it's going to come back and find a way, man. So follow your passion, follow your heart, and don't cheat yourself. You got to put in that work.
Well said, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for sitting here, chopping it up with me. I appreciate you guys. And, yeah, let's do this again soon.
For sure.